Good morning. Hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving. All right. What's going to happen in the next, before I pray, what's going to happen in the next about a month or so, maybe a little more than a month, after this, I know we've been kind of, you know, doing hiatuses on the sermon series on Beatitudes, but we're going to do another hiatus because the next four Sundays is called the Christmas Advent season. And if you guys don't know what Advent means, is Advent is the next four in the Christian calendar, next four Sundays before Christmas is a sort of a preparation for the Messiah. So there's going to be four sermons on the Christmas Advent sermon series. And then after that, there's going to be two sermons, one on God's word and one on prayer to prepare us for the new year, 2019. And then, so that's kind of like in a month and a half or so of what's going to be preached on the pulpit. And then we'll get back to the Beatitudes. We're almost done. There's like a couple more of Beatitudes. And then, okay, so let me pray for us before we start. If you could join me in prayer and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, we need your help. We need what only you, not I or any humans can do, but what you can do for us now. We have read your word. Your infallible, inerrant word of God, the very vocal cords of the Holy Spirit. And now I pray that you would speak to your people with your words, the power of your word, and that you would drive it into our hearts and our minds to change us forever. Only you could do this. So we pray for that miracle work that you could do. Help us be faithful to your word. Help us be attentive to your word now. And that you would speak to us. And that we will receive with faith. Give us understanding now, I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. So we're continuing the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And remember, I said before, Jesus has come. He is a king. And he is building a kingdom. And the Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are his, you could say, his laws of the kingdom. These are the characteristics or qualities that he's looking for to build his kingdom and to populate these kinds of people in this kingdom that he's building. This is a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. A spiritual kingdom that he's ushering in, and these are the important things that this King Jesus wants to set up. Okay? And we looked at a few qualities of this kingdom and his people, and now we are on verse 7, and we're going to look at the fifth characteristics of the people in this kingdom. And as you already know, it is the word blessed, happy, are the merciful. Now, before we tackle what mercy is, I just want to spend a couple of minutes talking about Christianity, the Christian, the gospel. The Christian gospel and Jesus places its primary emphasis upon being rather than doing. Let me say it one more time. the Christian gospel, Christianity, and Jesus places its primary emphasis, focus, upon being rather than doing. Greater weight upon our attitude than upon our actions. Jesus says, out of the fullness of the heart, your heart, your what? Another verse. Out of fullness of the heart, who you are, your, what is that? Your mouth speaks, okay? Yes, it's important what you say, but it comes from your heart. It's come from who you really, really are. Beyond the layers, beyond the little barrier that you and I set. What God and Jesus mainly stresses on is what you and I essentially are, rather than what we do. In other words, if Jesus was here right now, looking at each and every one of you and me, and he peels the layers of our outward religious activity, just like he did with the religious leaders back on his day, okay? If he did that with you, what would he find? What would he find? Would he find in your depths of your heart a love for God? A love for Christ? Would he find that? Do you like to spend time with him? It's one thing to say you love God, it's another thing to actually like do it, you know? I mean, it's milquetoast when we sing songs like, I love you, you're my all in all, okay? And actually not live that, you know? What you're saying, I love God, is milquetoast. I mean, I could say I love you, honey, okay? All I want, all day long, but if I don't show it, okay? That love doesn't mean really much. Right? Do you like God? Do you like to spend time with God? That's what love is. I love you, God, but I don't want to, you know, talk to you. I don't want to spend time with you in your word. That is not love. That is a low-level love. That's what he was condemning the hypocrisy of the thing back in his day with the religious leaders. And now with you and me, what would he find there? Who you really are, beyond the layers. There's an old saying that you sin because you are a sinner and not you are a sinner because you sin. Let me say that one more time. You sin because you are a sinner. That's your being. That's who you are. That's why you sin. And not you are a sinner because you sin. So often people think that what God and Jesus expects of you, exhorts you, is try to be a Christian in this way or that way. Try to live as a Christian here and there, and that's not where it is. The reason we live this way is because we are Christians. There's a difference. We are not meant to control our Christianity. Our Christianity is rather meant to control us. When you become a Christian, it is what the Bible calls regeneration. You could become a new person, he says. You're a new nature, a new inner self. When you become a Christian, what God and the Spirit of God does is he takes you, essentially who you are, your heart, and he radically changes you. Do you remember that happened to you if you're a Christian? That happened to me. You know, basically my testimony is not like, you know, I was doing drugs and then I became a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home, but I didn't like God. He wasn't very interesting. You know, basketball, sports was more interesting to me. Jesus, who cares? Nah, I couldn't say that because my dad was a pastor. You know what I mean? I went to church faithfully every Sunday, right? Yet, I didn't care about God. I used to, I was a kid, okay? I was in high school. And I used to invite my best friend, Mike Mahoney. You know, he's an Irish kid. He was a year below me. And I used to invite him because church was boring. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say that, but like I was forced to go to church. And I was like way in the back, okay? He invited my best friend. I was fooling around, you know, poking my friend, having a good time, right? Because church is boring. Bible is boring. Jesus is boring. And then when I got converted in college days, he became boring to, he was not boring. The Bible was not boring. There is a change. I didn't change that. I didn't and one day decide, okay, now I want Bible to be exciting. I want God to be exciting. God does that work. He does a miraculous change, a new nature, a new being. And then you start liking God. You start going to church because you want to, not because if I don't go this week, my week's not going to go well. If I don't read my Bible, right? God's going to do a lightning. Sufferings will come. See that? No. You want to go to church because you want to. You want to read the Bible because it's precious. You want to gather with other brothers and sisters because you want to be a part of a community that really care for what's really important. We are Christians, and our actions are the outcome, the byproduct of who you are, your being. You're different. God has changed you through the gospel. Okay. So that was sort of an introduction, okay? Here's another characteristics of a Christian. The Christians are merciful people. Before we talk about what mercy is, it helps me to say what mercy is not and then see what mercy is. And then we'll have an application and that'll be... Okay, that'll be it. What mercy is not? Mercy is not easygoing. Mercy is not to see things. And if we do see them, pretend we have not. I remember distinctively telling someone, "Don't do that." And he responded by saying, "Don't tell me what I can or what cannot do. I'm going to do whatever I want." Today, we are absolutely free-minded, independent, and that he has the right to do whatever he wants or feels like. People think merciful person is the one who smiles at transgression and law-breaking. He says, it doesn't matter. Let's carry on. Everyone else is doing it. Don't worry. We're all sinners. Of course, we can't attain perfection. We're going to sin, so being merciful is like, it's all right. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, right? What's the big deal? That is not mercy. That's not characteristic of someone who is a merciful person, the easygoing, see something, a brother or sister, and don't say anything about it. Then what is mercy then? Mercy is really not hard to understand. It's really easy. I'm going to tell you the definition, be like, oh yeah, I knew that. But mercy is really hard to do. Easy to understand what it is, it's just hard to do it. The definition of mercy is basically giving someone a break. Is being nice for a change, even though they don't deserve it. Remember the definition I gave a long time ago about McDonald's? That wasn't a great example of mercy. I would try to get revenge or like make them frightened by getting out of the car, right? I should just stay in my car and be quiet. It is kind words spoken to others instead of condemning words. Now, I didn't say anything when I got out of my car at McDonald's, but I wanted to, you know? It is accepting them as they are, but not accepting their sin. That's hard. Accepting as they are, but not accepting the sin. Often people interchange the word grace and mercy, and it's kind of same thing. There's a difference. Grace is associated with men, okay? Men, okay, don't get tricked by that word, man. I mean, like everyone, okay? Mankind in their sins. Grace is associated with sin. Mercy is associated with man, not just in their sin, but in their misery of their sin. That's mercy. Grace looks down upon sin as a whole. Mercy looks upon the miserable consequence of sin. So mercy is a sense of pity, compassion, plus you act on that compassion. That's mercy. It's compassion plus action. It's one thing to like, oh, I feel bad. Another thing to feel that and also act on that feeling, there's mercy there. It is compassion plus action. To know that you have a merciful spirit is when you find yourself in a position of power of someone who has sinned against you. And if you know, if you haven't had any kind of relationship, okay, whether it's marriage or like any kind, brother or sister, sometimes you're in a position of power. You know what I mean? Your spouse did wrong, right? And you know. And then what happens? Oh, your brother or sister did wrong. So one party who did not do wrong has a power, right? And it's at that point what you do or what you say indicates if you are a merciful person, if you have a merciful spirit. You know, one of the things that my wife and we're so different. Good night. I mean, even just like interacting with my wife a little bit, I mean, we're just so different. She's like the ultra introvert. I'm like the extrovert. I've examined myself in the past 43 years. I'm becoming more of an introvert than. But it's really I'm trying to fight to listen more, okay, than like talk. Okay, you know, most of the introvert person want to be the center of attention. You know, they talk. Most of the extrovert want to talk and be the center of attention. And it's an introvert who, they don't talk as much and they're listeners, you know, generally. So I've been trying to work on that because I'm an extrovert. I love crowds. I love energy. I don't do so well, you know, generally when I'm by myself. I love roommates. I love, you know what I mean? You might think roommates is a nag or a hassle, you know? But I love roommates. And I didn't feel good. My freshman year, came back from my winter break, and then my roommate was gone. Apparently, I guess he didn't like me. So I don't know. I was hardly there. And it was lonely my freshman year, the second semester, you know? Maybe because I brought, you know, the cabbage into the refrigerator. I don't know. Yeah. Those, you know, long Korean, like the kimchi, you know? Maybe that's why. I'm not sure, but he left, and I was lonely second semester. Not that he and I talked a lot, you know, but my wife and I are really different, and another difference with my wife is, I'm always misplacing things. You know, we both do. We always look for our keys or look for stuff. And I always remind her, okay, don't touch my things. When I leave it here, I know where I left it, okay? Okay. But if you move it, okay, I don't know where it is. And so you could imagine what happened, right? I placed it right there, okay? And this was when Noah was like an infant, okay? Can't blame Noah. I know he's not the criminal, right? Can't blame him. He can't even move. I mean, who could it be? It wasn't me, right? I mean, who else is in the house, in the apartment? My wife. I put it right here, and it's gone. Of course. And I text my wife. Where's my keys? Or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I left it right here. And then she goes, oh, I didn't touch it. And then she did touch it. Later on, we found it in our bag. Okay? And so she comes home, and you know she did it. Okay? It was in her bag. Now I'm in a position of power, right? Do I give her, that could happen. It's a mistake. Yeah, you forgot. Right? And you extend mercy? Or what do? See? Told you. I know you took it. Often when you're in a position of power, okay, instead of extending, it's okay. You know, happens to me too. We pounce because we're position of power. We are in the right. I told you I was right. I know you took it. Merciful Spirit, even though when you're in position of power, even though someone wronged you or sinned against you or whatever, you do not, in your position of power, have a vindictive spirit. A condemning spirit. There's a sense of compassion and sorrow. Not here's my opportunity to hurt that person. You know, one of the things that grieves me the most in my sin is, you know, my wife is the very person that I should be extending mercy and grace. She's important. And yet, she's often the most people I hurt. And God, help me. I don't want to do that. I want to be merciful. God, save me from my sin. Help to encourage her, lift her up. Be merciful. Grace. Lavish on the very person I love. And yet I keep finding myself unmerciful. I'm not a crier, but it grieves me often. I would say my number one prayer is that, you know, like, to you, I look like, you know, dress nice, smell nice, look nice, haircut, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, I'm a pastor. Are you merciful? Is LCC as a whole a church that extends mercy to sinners? What a church would that be? You know, a church would talk about, you know, about what really love is, sacrificial. Things that will hurt you, that you'll go without for the benefit of your brothers and sister. That'd be an awesome church. It doesn't work when we're so individualistic and we look out for ourselves, you know. May God have mercy on us. That kind of a church, a merciful people, is what we should be striving towards. Of course, I'm not a really good example of being someone who's merciful, but there is in the Bible. And you guys know the story of the Good Samaritan. I don't always do geography, but if you know anything in the Bible, a Samaritan was hated in Jesus' day. Do you know why? Because Samaria was in the northern part of Israel, in the town, city called Samaria. Okay? And when in the 722 BC, 586 and 722 BC, when God punished the northern part of Israel, the 10 tribe, okay, by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians, the Gentiles, populated that area with their own people, Gentiles. And when a Jew marries a Gentile, you become in that city Samaritan, half-breeds. No one liked half-breeds. They were impure. They were rejected in society. They weren't the in crowd. They were on the outside. And you know this story? There's a man who got robbed, beaten, a Jew. Okay? Now, back then, things like that happened. Okay? In Brazil, that happens, okay? Go down the road and you can get robbed. Maybe less likely, like, around here, okay? But you just have to imagine, okay? So you find this person, a Jew, beaten, robbed, just everything is gone. And Jesus is setting you and I up. A priest, a religious leader, goes by, looks at him, doesn't extend any help. Walks right by. Doesn't really say why. Yeah, I could only imagine. You know, sometimes you and I think, oh, you know what? The reason he's like that, he's lazy. But not knowing the situation. Poor people are lazy. And I'm not saying that's not true. You know what I mean? Oh, they're sinners. God struck them down. There's something sin, something bad that they did. That's why their situation. I don't know, I'm just guessing here. So the priest, the religious leader, just walks, looks at him, and he's being punished by God, my God. If you do right, then things will go right. Walks right past by. Levite comes. Remember, these are fellow Jews. You would think they will help each other, you know? A Levite comes, looks at him. Nothing. And then you can see a Samaritan. Remember, that person hates this person, the Samaritan, the half-breed, the rejects of society. You know, like, the Samaritan and a Jew never talked, never. They didn't say, oh, hey, Samaritan, come to my house. Let's eat together. Let's play. That never happened. And yet, this reject of society This sin should not happen, and yet the Samaritan, who should be mad, see? You get that for rejecting me. I mean, that'd be, you know, right? That's what they deserve. And yet he didn't do that. And look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10. Verses 33-37. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, remember, this interaction should not even occur. He had compassion. He had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. See that? It's compassion. And then he acted. That's mercy. Mercy at its finest. Pure. You see a need, and you're there. You have a flat tire, you call me, I'm there. Oh, no, I'm too busy. For your brother and sister? Doesn't matter what time of day. I mean, unless it's like 3 a.m. and it's not an emergency. Can you wait? I mean, you know what I mean? But I'm there. We should be there for each other. Acting. Compassion and act. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave him to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Amazing mercy. He went out of his way, not just to help him, put him in the inn. He went beyond. Incredible. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go, Life Creek, you go and do what? Likewise. Are you that kind of a person? Do you want to be that kind of a person? Thumb up, thumb down. Thumb. You just can't be like that. I want to be merciful, not merciful. Merciful, not merciful. You gotta be someone like that. Where you see it and it just comes out of you. Actions come out because you are. You're that kind of a person. Not, man. Should I be merciful here? I don't know. If only it benefits me. And of course, as you could tell, the gospel is like that. Christ was like that to you and I. Remember who you were. I'm running out of time. I don't remember who you and I were. The Bible says we are what? Yet we were enemies of God. We were naked, poor, and wretched. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And look at what happened to you. Let me remind you who you were before. You were not all that. In Ephesians chapter 2, this is what he says. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. You were puppet to Satan. You listened to him. You do what he said. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even though when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive with Christ. By grace you've been saved. That's who you were. You were dead. You know, dead people don't talk. And because of God's mercy, he extended that mercy to you. And now, here you are. Maybe a crime when you don't extend that mercy, especially to your brother and sister at this church. While yet we were still a sinner, enemies of God, Christ died for us. I'm going to end with this. Since we're upon Christmas season, and during, I don't know if you guys remember, during our baby shower that you guys graciously threw for Tasia and our baby Andrew, one of the games that Sabrina did was Jesus' name. You guys remember? Okay. Jesus, his name, if he was in back in the Old Testament time, in the Hebrew time, he'd be called Joshua. Okay. Joshua, if he was in the Jesus' time, he'd be called Jesus, Jesus. Okay. They have the same name. Well, Yehoshua is two Hebrew words put together. Yehoshua. Yeh is the special name that God has, Yahweh. We sang that, Yahweh. Hoshua is salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, is Yahweh in the flesh. And do you know what Yahweh means? Let me show you, and I'm going to end. This Christmas season is because Yahweh, I'm going to give out the punchline here. Exodus 34, verse 6, says this. It's the first time that God revealed who he is to the Israelites. First time, who he was. Exodus 34, verse 6, it says this. Yahweh, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord Yahweh passed before him, Moses, and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, steadfast love. And that God, the merciful God, is what we and I celebrate in Christmas. Jesus is God of mercy. Yahweh, the Son, wrapped around him. That's why he came. If you poke Jesus, he would ooze mercy. That's why we celebrate the Advent season, to celebrate Jesus, who is Yahweh in the flesh, to save us from our sin and extend rich in mercy to you and I. Let's pray. Taste and see that you are good, O Lord. We have tasted, we have soaked in mercy from you and your Son. So we say, oh Lord, forgive us, change us. We do not want to be a person or a church who lacks. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We have received mercy. Do that miracle. Though they don't deserve it, we do not deserve mercy from you. Yet, you have extended that much more, just like the Good Samaritan, way beyond we ever deserved. What a God you are. You're an amazing God. Worthy, as we have sung. There's no one like you. There's no God like you. And as we come upon the preparation for Christmas, Lord, I pray that you prepare and change our hearts to be a people who are merciful. Blessed, happy are the merciful. Help us now, I pray, this church. Help this poor servant. I pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ.